Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me is William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
William Miller, what do you do?
I'm currently a technical artist for Harmonix Music Systems, makers of the much-famed Guitar Hero and soon-to-be Guitar Hero 2, and I'm soon going to go back to school and be dirt poor.
Sweet! The life of a game developer. All right, and also with us this week, we got Justin Ficarotta. Justin Ficarotta, who are you?
All right, so I started by making a classic Mac action game called Kill Monty.
The best game ever.
And then after which, I got a job at Petroglyph Games in Las Vegas for about 6 months. After which, I was most dishonorably fired, and then I janked all their code and sold to EA for crack.
Awesome. I love it. All right.
So that is currently funding my independent game company.
And this is your game news for August 13th, 2006. This week in the news, Duran Duran to perform a virtual concert in Second Life. July game sales are up big this year. G4ia winners announced and Jack Thompson interviewed. Could the PSP price drop be coming this fall? An unknown director at the helm of the delayed Halo movie. Atari suffering from major profit losses. And NVIDIA enables quad GPUs. Spore delayed again. Microsoft ads in Japan. GameStop employees facing lawsuits. Smaller game conferences now expanding. The $100 million Guitar Hero buyout, and of course, Metawolf Chaos, the best plot of all time. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
Duran Duran gives Second Life. Given Second Life. 80s rockers to perform virtually on alternate internet reality. Band members want web-based island to become a fully functional, futuristic utopia. Oh my god.
Second Life, okay, you know what? Like, I usually hide this power because at IMG we want to maintain good relations with everybody. Second Life is a bunch of furries. That's all. It's like furry heaven.
The truth comes out.
That's true. It's for that kind of person, you know, who likes to talk on chat and, you know, it. And I don't know. I don't want to say anything to offend people.
Quit talking about me. So Duran Duran, well known for 80s hit Rio and Hungry Like the Wolf, as well as 1993 ballad Ordinary World, is reinventing itself
seriously?
Once again
Hungry
on
Like the Wolf.
Dude, that's an awesome song, Shut Face.
How's it go? Sing it, go.
Hungry Like the Wolf. I don't know. ask Simon for that one. He loves that song.
Hungry Like the Wolf and Guitar Hero 2, go.
Oh, maybe, I wish. Maybe there's no guitar listeners. In it, though. It's all synthesizer.
Synthesized guitar. Oh, I got some power.
Now, does the article say what kind of animal Duran Duran will be in his alternate reality? Is he going to be like a sexy fox with big hooters?
I'm thinking sexy fox with big hooters.
But that's actually, like, you think that, you know, you're making a joke. One of the preset, like, outfits you pick is furry. Like, no joke. Like, it is a pre-built, like, you know, character set.
Hey, they're catering to their customers, man.
Exactly. Oh, okay, so I went to Seagraph this last weekend at the Boston Convention Center, which was awesome, by the way. And, like, I saw these Linden Lab guys, or, like, they weren't even working for Linden Lab. They were a bunch of dudes clustered around and that moved together as a group that I guess all had avatars on Second Life, and they were all fat beards. You know what I'm talking about. Hide that power. All right, moving on.
hang on. I got a piece of heat. So we're talking about guitars, right? And Ben Buck, has anybody here ever heard of a little band called Dragon Force?
Yeah. They play so fast, your face melts off. Not a day goes by at Harmonix that we don't get at least 3 emails begging for Dragon Force. No kidding. Dragon Force. Everybody wants Dragon Force.
Now, are these guys like Nightwish, where they have like music videos and they all have like swords and armor?
I don't know.
This
but
one guy, his
their
hair.
Album covers are really funny though. Like the lead guitarist,
his hair is like a mile long. He's the ultimate 80s rocker. Ben
you know
Buck.
Those movies from the 80s that like have the naked chick with like like clinging to the dude who's got the sword raised in the air. Like, that's like what all of their album covers look like.
Oh man,
he's like these like gouache paintings of muscular men and scantily clad women. Oh man, Bruce Morrison is talking about Rhapsody in the chat. I can't even believe it. Can't even believe it. People Where's that go Rhapsody? To Rhapsody concerts, they bring swords. They don't bring lighters. They bring swords. I kid you not. Moving on.
What nerds. All right, enough of that power. Today, NPD reported a positive income for the gaming industry. Income yet again that beat analyst expectations. Today, revenue for the month was $684.6 million, up 29% this year over the past year, far past analyst expectations. By contrast, July 2005 only saw $531.4 million in combined software, hardware, and accessory sales. Sales are up this month, guys. Why? Go.
First of all, the whole thing about the analysts, I don't get that. You know, it's like they have these huge firms get paid big bucks and all this hoopla, and they give you some number, some prediction, you know, and it's just like,
I don't trust the numbers.
Well, the thing is, like, it's completely obvious to anyone that plays games that, you know, what their predictions are gonna be. So it's just like, you know, it's like, well, you know, like why can't we be analysts? You know, it's like they're saying the exact same things that we do. It's like it pisses me off.
Look, we're up 22% from last year. 22%.
Yeah, I mean, it pisses me off that some guy is getting paid a six-figure income to say the exact same thing as some pimply-faced 13-year-old kid on the internet whose balls haven't even dropped yet.
I think it's because of NCAA Football 07, or maybe THQ's cars.
Or Red Line.
Those are the top games.
Or the Jaws game on the Xbox.
Blam. 50 Cent bulletproof.
That's right.
One thing they say for the increase, maybe it's the Nintendo DS. The DS Lite came out in July, which sold... the sales were up 358% from the previous month for the Nintendo DS.
Good God.
Slight increase.
Yes, just a little bit. By contrast, the PSP fell by 20%.
What is the allure of the Nintendo DS?
Yeah, what is the PSP?
Well, why do
that,
people like them
really
so much?
Really expensive thing. I think because they're cheap, and they now have a solid library of games, and they appeal to a large audience, and they're gimmicky.
And they look hot.
Who said that? Don't deny it. Don't deny it.
Well, and, right. but it does apply to a large audience. I mean, even Mama Fick, you know, back at the old Fick household, has the old DS with Meteos.
Oh, man, awesome. Also, Xbox 360 sold 207,000 units this month. The console sold 2.2 million in the U.S. alone. However, in Japan, not so good.
Sold, like, Japan. What, six?
Yeah, they sold 207. Not 207,000, 207, period. So, things are looking up this month. All right, somebody else go.
All right, G4 announces G4ia winners and books Jack Thompson. So I was on Kotaku today, or not today, yesterday I guess it was, and I saw a little clip from Attack of the Show with Jack Thompson. Now Jack Thompson was on with two other gaming aficionados talking about Bully. I guess Rockstar.
I also saw this clip.
Rockstar's
new
game.
Power?
I refuse to watch it.
Well, see, here's the thing that gets me. First of all, three people up there talking about a game that they have never seen before. That's number
one. Yeah, it's a little pretentious.
All right, and number two, Jack Thompson, regardless of how much what he says makes my blood boil, is so much more poised on the air and can control himself. Where you got these two like sweaty faced dudes like screaming at him, and he's just taking it, and he looks.
I mean, I was expecting so much more. You know, he sends out these press releases calling Sony the Pearl Harbor 2 with its games. And yet on this show, he was so collected and so intelligent looking. I was shocked.
I know. The man has it together. I think that's why he can sell sand to thirsty people.
I love it. You know what, though? It's like... All that's fine and good. I refuse to watch that today, and I really do want to set a precedent for episode one of the best damn podcast ever. I mean, because everyone reports on Jack Thompson. Like he loves going on shows simply for the publicity, and people love having him on the shows for publicity because, you know, hey, it's great to rip on Jack Thompson. He's like, you know, it's just. But the thing is, it's got really nothing whatsoever to do with games. It's just people yakking back and forth. So, you know, so I say we ban all Jack Thompson related talk.
Oh, we can't say ban. You know, next week he might pee on a fire hydrant.
Okay,
how could we let that slip?
Okay, if he pees in a fire hydrant, but it's like, I seriously have enough on my mind without having some white-haired, white-bread bag telling me that every time I pick up my Xbox paddle, I'm crib-raping the skull of baby Jesus.
did you just say crib-rape?
Yes. Well, there's crib-death, so there could be crib-rape. That's perfectly plausible.
Oh, thank you, sir. You just made my day. Anyway, so the report goes on. They have... Oh, let me read this exactly as GameSpot reported it. let's see. So they also had this little award show on G4 where they pick, like, Game of the Year, that kind of thing. And let me read you how GameSpot reported this. Selected by G4 viewers, the awards were once the subject of a glitzy ceremony in Los Angeles, but has since been scaled down to a low-key televised event this year. Ouch. There's a little ribbon in there. So the Game of the Year was Eldritch Scrolls IV Oblivion, not Jaws. Best Action Game was Shadow of the Colossus, but nice. Not the ending. Best Graphics, Eldritch Scrolls. What else we got in this power?
We've got the most original game.
There it is, Guitar Hero.
Blam.
Guitar Hero this year is the number two best-selling game on the PlayStation.
That's really amazing,
nice.
Considering
number two.
Harmonix has done nothing really, you know, mega hit before. To come out with a game and just really succeed with it is awesome.
Well, we've been cooking it for a while. Like the game, like Frequency and Amplitude were really, really good games.
Yeah, but
they
found their niche. You know,
yeah,
they weren't
and
big.
Nobody really
hits.
Bought them. Nobody caught on. But once you added rock to the equation,
oh yes,
then
we were sold. All right. Also,
anything plus Ozzy equals awesome.
Yeah.
Best shooter, Call of Duty 2. That was Bark at the Moon with my mouth. Best strategy game, Justin Fick.
Empire at War. And you know what? That's only because I was on the project for those last 3 months. Like, when I got there in November, it was like they didn't even have a game. Like, they didn't have a deal with LucasArts or anything. I single-handedly created that project, and then the fame and fortune just completely went to my head. And that's actually why they had to let me go, because I was, like, falling asleep.
You're too good.
In a mountain of cocaine.
Too good. All right. Somebody else take this news. Go.
All right. So, a rumor that Sony is slashing the PSP price for the holidays. Let me read this and actually remind myself what the hell a PSP is. Oh, it's okay. All right. So, according to industry analysts, Sony is going to make one of its gaming platforms very affordable this holiday season. So, fortunately for next-gen gamers, it's not the PlayStation 3. That's actually the PSP.
They're actually increasing the price of the PS3 again.
Yes.
It's going to be $400,000.
So right now, if you recall, the PSP is $199, but the American Technology Research P.J. McNeely believes the handheld's price will fall to $149. Now here we go with another analyst, but whatever.
Yeah, what gets me about this article is that this entire rumor is based on this one analyst, Mr. P.J. McNeely. Apparently he's got some credit, but, you know, one analyst saying it? This isn't a rumor. This is one dude.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to do something, and since they obviously have completely failed to, you know,
yeah,
get
they're
some
hurting
games
right now.
For it, they might as well just
they're not
drop
up
the price.
358%. They're down 20.
Yeah.
So it says here the price drop could be tied into the game's launch, such as October's Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories to follow up the PSP's biggest hit thus far.
No.
So you think we're going to see a price drop with Vice City Stories?
I don't know. I bought a PSP back in the day, and I put like my demo reel on it, because it's got a real nice high-resolution screen, but even that got pushed off eventually by booby.jpg.
Wait. Why would you put porn? Now, I've heard of this before. How do you view porn
on a PSP?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, too. Like, it doesn't even really work. Because it's a, you know, it doesn't work.
Why don't you? No, you know a lot more about this than us. Why don't you go into details?
Well, see, you really don't have an opportunity to use such a thing. Where are you going to pull that out? Right? In the subway?
Dude,
somewhere?
The bus station.
In the library? I mean, like.
All right, I'm done. All right, back to class.
Yeah, you just get the back row in one of those really crowded, huge lecture halls. Just bust out the PS people. People think you're just taking notes on it.
Oh,
really, you're busting that nut. So maybe the PSP will decrease in price. Maybe to 150, as this guy suggests. Maybe not. Who knows? So keep an eye out.
Or they should just make some games, you know, because LocoRoco wasn't going to do it.
Dude, LocoRoco would be the perfect game if it had more than one song. That's one thing.
It does have more than one song.
The version I downloaded has one song.
It's a demo. It's one song and one level.
Look, I'm not going to buy it.
The demo didn't have all the songs. I played Guitar Hero demo and it only had one song. It's dumb.
Anyway, the thing that would make that game really great is if instead of using the shoulder buttons to rotate the world, it actually had a gyroscope, so you rotate the actual unit to rotate.
Where would that go?
You could make a little USB one and stick it in the top.
That's true.
I think that would be really cool.
I don't like those gimmicky tilt, like Kirby Tilt and Tumble, and what are some of those other tilt and games? WarioWare Twisted.
The Yoshi.
Yeah, just not a fan of those.
I love WarioWare. They give you a word, a verb.
Yeah. Go, cut, jump, duck. That's instruction.
It's awesome.
That's how my life is. I have a very sad life.
Well, they just got to do something because, you know, my PSP has been collecting dust for the last 6 months.
It's
the only reason I pulled it out is because I heard that it could play Flash games with its web browser. And then I actually
Tekken Dark Resurrection, very cool. Thumbs
up. Yeah, that has game sharing, too. You can have one copy of the game and then, like, spawn it on a bunch of other people's PSPs, I think. A bunch of people were doing that in the office, and they were having a good time.
There is an unknown directing the upcoming Halo movie, which has also been delayed till 2008. For a while, Guillermo del Toro, Blade 2, who was linked with the project, and who was also the director of Hellboy, and he was saying publicly that he was in talks with Universal to direct the film, but the rumors shortly after that died down. And he has actually gone to make a sequel to Hellboy. So the new director of the Halo movie is going to be Neil Blomkamp, and I never heard of him either. But he is known for and he has won 3 Clio Awards for his advertisement work, and he has also won a Visual Effects Society Award for a TV spot showing a dancing Citroën car. Now, I actually watched this. It's a very cool commercial. It's actually got the Citroën turning into a transformer, doing the You Got Served thing. And it's very cool. And he's also done a lot of shorts. Very cool, like there's another short called Tetraval, which has a very like Halo / RoboCop kind of feel to it, and you can view that on analogic.com, analogik.com. So, in other news on the Halo movie, it's also been delayed. It was supposed to hit theaters in summer 2007. It's been pushed back until summer 2008 for a worldwide release.
You know, is anybody excited about this movie?
I don't know. I don't know.
Guillermo del Toro was tied to the project, I was excited.
Oh,
but now, I don't know.
All right, I had that
Hellboy class before.
All right, I don't know about this Halo movie. Like, okay, it's a catch-22. So, on the one hand, your hardcore gamers are going to expect Master Chief, who you never, ever see the face of, and they want to see him blowing away, you know, Nazis or whatever. Now, the casual moviegoer wants to actually, you know, sympathize with the main character, and that's not going to happen. Nobody's going to get pleased with this movie. It's going to suck. I don't care who directs it.
Dude, as long as they keep the explosions flowing and maybe, you know, break from the Halo tradition and throw in a couple of boobs, you can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
It's true. More breasts. That will help the Halo movie.
breasts, explosions, guns, and Nazis and ninjas.
And U-Ball.
And U-Ball, yes.
All right, I'm done with that. Speaking of U-Ball, Alone in the Dark delayed as Atari lessens its losses. So the troubled publisher, Red Ink, lessens lower income on... What is that? That's not even a complete sentence. Good job, GameStop. Spot. I get all those backwards all the time. All right, so in June, Atari reported its earnings for the 2006 fiscal year, which turned out to be the worst on record. Nice work, Atari. For the 12 months ending March 31st, it lost $6.71 million. These figures are dramatically worse than Atari's previously reported years, which posted 407.8 revenues and annual profit of $5.7 million. So Atari's losing money, and they're pushing back games because of it. They're trying to make them better. The third party we're talking about, like, they sold off some of their old intellectual properties a few months back, like Stuntman. They sold that to THQ along with their developer Paradigm. And 2 months later, Atari sold off the even bigger car-centric franchise, the Troubled, that's what it says here, the Troubled Driver series. Oh.
Poor little series.
To Ubisoft. So, yeah, Atari, they're not doing so hot. They're selling off their stuff and they're delaying games, but maybe they can pull it out. Maybe they won't do a Midway and they'll be able to pull it out.
I blame Alone in the Dark.
Look, Midway had pleasure domes, and they still went the way of the dinosaur. I don't think it's gonna happen.
You've got no chance, Atari.
No chance.
But you know, Atari used to be Infogrames, and they bought the Atari name.
That's true.
So it's a haunted, you know, name for your company. You're just gonna fail over and over.
It's like that little cursed voodoo monkey that everyone carries around. It grows mold on your whatever when you carry it. I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
So what I'm actually talking about by cursed monkeys is NVIDIA actually is enabling quad GPUs. So that was actually a very clever metaphor that no one got.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are these quad GPUs?
All right, so the NVIDIA GeForce 7950 GX2 did not support Quad SLI.
When
NVIDIA first released the design, but the new Forceware 91.45 graphics driver released today will finally allow PC system builders at home to put two dual GPU GeForce 7950 graphics cards together in a single system.
Yay!
To make a mega Voltron graphics video pushing machine.
What kind of ridiculous person is going to put quad graphics cards in their computer? It's ridiculous.
See, here's what I don't understand. Okay, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but a monitor only refreshes at most at like 85 hertz. So, frame rate that's higher than that, what? I don't get it.
You're getting hertz and frame
if there isn't fire spitting out of the back of my box, I am not happy.
Blake Buck, you are dumb. Hertz is a frequency.
I know, but you just said the
so is frame rate
generates hertz. They generate frame rates. I'm the graphics expert on this show. Oh. You shut up. Oh. All right, I've been to school
and learned
about digging ditches at community college.
Just to think, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
So, but while it does, doesn't really affect a higher frame rate than your refresh rate. It does allow you to push more, you know, crazy face-burning, you know, vertex pixel per whatever lighting on there and be able to maintain that maxed-out frame rate.
Look, I just want quad Agia cards.
So, no, don't get me started on physics cards. You already got four cores on your graphics card. Learn how to use them, for Christ's sake. How much does a system like this cost?
The cards themselves are, it says in this article somewhere. Problem is I can't read, so it's going to take... I think they're in the $600 price range. Yeah, $600 each.
For one card?
For one card.
Oh, my God.
What? That's about right for a ridiculous, stupid graphics card.
I'm going to have to sell some jank code to EA to afford some of that.
Take that code.
All right. Wee Mill, you got the news yet?
No, I still haven't gotten the news.
Dude, we're halfway through the news. You're done.
All right, whatever. I don't care. Look, I'll take this Metal Wolf Chaos thing, and then you guys do the rest.
You got it, man.
I got power. All right, so EA not sporing until late 2007.
What a clever headline that is.
What a clever headline, GameSpot. I hate you.
Like, so, if...
So designer Will Wright is aiming to... for the second half of next year to ship the much-anticipated PC Evolution Civilization Space Themes Exploration Simulator.
So here's my take on that. You ready? And actually, this isn't really my take. I'm janking this directly from something Sean said earlier today in the office. he says that probably they can't make a Christmas release, but they probably could make the release before what they pushed it back to. So, like... Hmm. To sell optimum amounts of units, they're pushing the release date to a more optimal time. So they're probably on schedule. They're just not on schedule for Christmas.
No, so, I bet they'll be on schedule for Christmas, dude.
You know,
I mean,
they
they're saying in this article, they say late 2000. It was originally late 2006. Then it was to be announced. Then it was 2007.
Yeah.
And now it's they say it won't make market before July of 2007.
Hmm.
So if they say July,
don't forget though, this is Will Wright we're talking about. The man is basically set for life completely. Like he could pee all over us and we would buy it. He doesn't need to release this ever. he can take as much time as he wants to polish this and make it as good as he wants.
Well, I hope Very it's true. Good. I hope it, you know, lives up to the hype.
I hope it's not another Molyneux.
Fable.
We both picked two games. That sucked. Okay. All right,
now,
just
yeah,
get going.
I never want to play another game ever again after I get Spore.
Oh, except oh man, the name of it just slipped my mind. Okay, so I'm in the office, right? I'm walking through the fruit pit. Getting some Mexican food, and I see this game being played on the Xbox 360. Now, I know William Miller doesn't play games, right? But this game had a dude, and he was killing zombies everywhere.
Oh, that's Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
Oh, my God. Week. Like, this game, like, yeah, you buy this game, and you never have to buy any other games ever again.
Oh, yeah. It's Dawn of the Dead in game form.
I don't know. It looks a little,
dude,
I don't know.
Dude,
I'd have to play it first.
Dude, you can kill zombies with anything.
Yeah, anything you pick up is a weapon.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great sandbox game, but I think it's timed. I think all the missions are timed.
Yeah,
you gotta
get out of the building in like 3 days or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, check that one out. That one's some hot heat. Like, and the box cover has got the dude right with a swarm of zombies below him, and he's holding a television as a weapon. I mean, come on, come on.
I love it.
Come on.
All right, Jessica, go.
All right, so Microsoft has claimed that ads in Xbox Live is going to be crucial for the Xbox 360 success in Japan. So the Xbox 360 has seen healthy sales in the Western world, but it has not even 1% of the Japanese game market.
See, that's what it's because they don't understand their market over there. Japanese gamers want small handheld game platforms. They don't want big Xbox.
Well, I mean, the Xbox is a American machine. Like,
yeah,
like just the whole attitude behind it.
Exactly.
What
most
it delivers,
people don't. Most people don't even
it.
Have like a personal computer that,
well,
that's kind of like ours. I mean, they use cell phones and you know mobile.
The main
devices.
Thing about the Xbox, there aren't any Japanese game developers. You know, they're all the Xboxes are very Western. You know, centralized game developers.
Or
we'll never
or the,
see Doom succeed in Japan.
Right, or the games that are developed in Japan are, you know, developed on all platforms.
Right.
Right. So I don't think they're ever going to find a market there. And I think Sony's going to hurt, too, for the same reason.
You know what I love, though? In this article, let me see where it says it. I don't know where it says it, but I remember it said that the Xbox 360 makes up less than 1% of the Japanese gaming market.
I bet you get made fun of at school if you have an Xbox. They find out. And they never let it go.
Indeed. All right, so GameStop, not Spot, GameStop facing employee lawsuits. Store managers say they don't actually manage anything and should be eligible for overtime pay. So apparently GameSpot managers and store managers are working 50 and 60 hours a week but don't get paid overtime because they're considered managers. And so some six employees down in Louisiana have banded together to start a class action suit to say, yeah, we don't actually manage anything. We're just like the other employees, except don't get paid overtime.
Let me get this straight. Okay, so you know, as much as I hate GameStop and I think they're a bunch of Nazis, okay, so you have managers that are not managing and then are suing for it. Do I have this like pretty much in order here?
That's what the words say on the page.
So I don't know. I think my thought is like, you know what? Yeah, GameStop sucks, but do your freaking job, you jack. And put the freaking lawsuit away. Like, seriously, you're like, just nitpicking at this point. It's like, you know what? The EA spouse thing and then all these artists and programmers that are not getting paid, I can understand them getting overtime for that. I can understand that lawsuit. You're freaking managers at GameStop.
You're one step above Bag Boy.
But we did that job, Blake Buck.
Shh. No, we didn't.
This is like the burger flippers at McDonald's, you know, suing McDonald's because they don't get to flip enough burgers.
Well, see, my girlfriend is applying for a job at GameStop.
We'll see. Maybe she'll get like quad points.
Maybe she'll jump on that bandwagon and get some money. That's right.
They'll just come to the stores to like study you. What is this creature? What is it doing in my GameSpot? Stop.
What are those things on her chest?
Oh, enough of this debauchery. All right.
Hide the power.
So game conference to expand into in the absence of E3. So Gen Con expands the gaming focus, moves to the L.A. Convention Center. Austin game conferences to host the largest game show next month. So now that the E3 Expo is downsizing, there are a lot of other smaller expos that are getting bigger. So the ones it talks about is Gen Con. They're going to be moving into the convention center, kind of like living the dream of E3. And apparently there's an Austin conference. Let's see, what's the Austin one called? Oh, it's called the Austin Game Conference. Oh, good job on that name.
You know they had a meeting about this, too, and just could not come up with anything.
So, yeah, so it's cool to see some new conferences coming up in absence of E3.
Now, I have a little spiel about E3, and again, it's regurgitated directly from one of my colleagues at Harmonix, but E3 used to be very small, well, not very small, but it used to be a convention for people in the industry to come together and share their work, not this huge media frenzy where just anybody can get in and go crazy.
They're returning to their roots
so that they can get done what they originally set out to do, which is sort of network with other developers and producers.
Kind of in my mind, like that was kind of was the purpose of E3 for me. It was just this big, you know, media debacle where all the real serious stuff happened over at GDC.
Right, and I mean, like the Austin Game Conference is a great conference, and I'm glad to see that that's getting bigger. And like you said, GDC is where the real goes down.
Don't make me buzzer you.
Sorry.
So what I'm concerned with
FCC standards
is the Austin Game Conference gonna hire all the laid off booth babes?
No, they did away with booth babes this year. Remember?
In E3.
Right.
But Austin is a whole different story.
Oh, Texas booth babes.
Dude, I need my adolescent body to be confused by these things I see at the gaming conferences. All right.
And by that
got me through
Terminator
my puberty. Okay, and by that, I mean I'm still going through. This is Big Texas Power.
All right, so Guitar Hero headbangs out $100 million. Activision filing reveals hefty acquisition costs for Red Octane, developer of popular headbanger simulator. So just reported, Activision just bought out Red Octane, $100 million. And they are taking over publishing duties of Guitar Hero 2. Now, William Miller, do you know anything about this? Is there talk about this going on at Harmonix about this deal?
Or is this like transparent to you guys?
It is transparent to us. I mean, we don't really deal with Activision. I mean, there are no like Activision ninjas running around our office. but here's
what I like about this article. Activision is planning an all new Guitar Hero game, which is appearing in the 2008 fiscal year. William Miller, tell us what that power is. Go.
I cannot comment on the new Guitar Hero.
Oh, come on.
Your job isn't worth that much. I cannot
comment. Don't make me hypnotize you. I'm going to hypnotize you on the air, just like I did Devon and Sean.
No, I can't say anything about that, but there will probably be more iterations of Guitar Hero or something similar.
Oh, well, sure.
I mean,
if
they
you get one hit game, you got to make 50 spinoffs of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's the only thing that they paid $100 million for. I mean, Red Octane doesn't have anything else.
This article says Red Octane, an aggregating account, the purchase price of $99.9 million.
Yeah.
You couldn't throw in another $0.1 million to round that number out?
Cheap.
But
they better not screw this up, though. Honestly, like Red Octane was doing all kinds of cool stuff, like promoting Guitar Hero at concerts, having demos at bars. Like, Activision is like this big mega corporate game company, and they better not just like take a big fat corporate deuce all over a much beloved.
Well, hopefully the same people at the helm for whatever iterations of GH come out, it'll shine through the corporate deuce. I'm pretty confident it'll shine through the corporate deuce. But the problem would be keeping it fresh, not making it another five, like, karaoke-type games where you're just spinning it.
Looking at you, country mix. William Miller, take this email power.
I don't have...
You said you got that one.
Oh, you mean the Metal Wolf one?
Yes.
The mega heat go.
This is the week's big story.
Oh, yeah.
So Sean today, he wheels over on his chair and taps me on the shoulder and points at his monitor at the most amazing thing I've ever seen. The game is Metal Wolf Chaos, and it, according to Kotaku.com and me as well, is a serious contender for best game plot of all time. Essentially,
I concur with this.
Essentially, the United States has been overthrown by terrorists. There's been a coup in government.
Oh, no!
And the only person who can stop the terrorists is the President of the United States. But not just that. He's in a huge mech.
Nice!
So it's a mech game where you're the president, and you've just got to go pwn terrorists. I love it. If you can go to Kotaku.com, I think it's on the second page of their news right now, and watch the trailer for this game. And the opening scene has the president's gigantic mech exploding out of the White House.
And it just gets better from there, trust me. It has the villainous vice president.
Yeah.
And it has the president in a mech pile driving a tank.
Yes. And not only does the plot look outstanding, but the gameplay looks pretty good too. Kind of like Zone of Enders-ish, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of mechs, a lot of guns, a lot of explosions, a lot of things to explode.
Yeah. So check that one out.
And very many presidential quips by... the president looks a lot like Michael Douglas out of American President. Remember that movie?
Yeah, it's that. Like, I must admit,
straight out of there.
I must admit, that's one of my favorite movies. The American President.
So, what is this going to be on? This game, is it even a real game?
It is. This was a 2004 Xbox game, actually.
Oh, what
happened? And it was it's Japan only. So you
need it's already out?
So you need
a
Japanese
import. Yeah, Lixang.
Well. You need a Japanese Xbox to play it, and if you heard our earlier report of Japan's Xbox chair, so you can forget about that power.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we have two very special guests from Harmonix Music Systems. We've got Sean Baptiste, a technical artist who works in my office, unfortunately.
Ah.
And and Devron Warner, who is an assistant producer. How you doing, guys?
I'm hanging good. In there. It's going good.
Yes.
All right, so in traditional interview fashion, we've got a couple questions lined up for you, but, you know, this is very casual, so feel free to, you know, goof around or whatever.
Well, you got Sean in here. That shouldn't be a problem.
That's true.
So I guess start off by telling us a little bit about what you do at Harmonix and how you got here.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, so I'm like, as Will said, I'm a associate producer here now. And I actually started off in QA, like way back when in the days of Frequency and Amplitude. So I've actually been, you know, here a while. And, you know, I graduated. When did I graduate high school? 2000, I think it was, and the next year it was around then, and you know, my first year of college, you know, I attended Berklee College of Music, which is actually right down the street, you know, down here in Cambridge. Harmonix was, you know, developing Frequency and basically kind of put out an ad for testers, basically, you know, they needed people to come in and test their game. And, you know, I was working in the Career Resource Center at a college, and I'm sure, as you guys know, that's not a fun place to work. And I kind of, like, you know, just went from there, came here for an interview, and it's just kind of been, you know, this long haul since then. So that's kind of how I got started.
I begged constantly.
That's true,
actually. I sent in a resume and a cover letter roughly every 2 weeks for something like 4.5 months.
Wow.
And believe it or not, that actually didn't get me the job. It ended up that a friend of a friend ended up working here, and I was like, yo, get me in there. And they really needed somebody badly. So,
yeah, when did you come in, Sean? You came in on what?
Karaoke 3. That was my first real game credit.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. I do remember that. So Sean was like, when Sean came in, though, he was like our superstar, like, crash finder. He was, like, breaking the game left and right. I do remember that.
But they don't realize it wasn't because I was smart. It's because I was stupid. I was stupid enough to find all the crashes. So, yeah, and then, you know, I've been doing QA pretty much since then, up until recently, where I become tech art on, what are we on now, Guitar Hero 2?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
We'll talk a little bit about that later.
Okay, so we've heard rumors about, you know, all the crazy stuff that's going on at Harmonix, and, you know, just earlier we heard Devron hiding women in his office.
True.
That's all true. So I like to call them roommates.
Okay,
it's like Three's Company.
So what's a typical work day like for you guys at Harmonix?
You know what? I couldn't really speak for Sean. I mean, I think, like, our jobs are really, really different, you
know?
That's true. And typically, like, honestly, a lot of my day is spent in meetings right now, you know what I mean? And scheduling and stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, I kind of disappear for a little while, and I just kind of pop up for snacks every once in a while. And, you know, then I disappear again. So that's basically what's going on there.
I generally show up. Devron and I ride in together. He gives me a ride every morning.
Yeah, and he buys me sandwiches.
So, and then I show up in the morning, look for Will, make fun of him as often as
very
possible.
Very easy.
See? They do know you.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, most of the day, I like, my job is so, it's, there's really no easy way of describing it. It's in a lot of ways, it's sort of like the video game version of being a fireman, because we're just putting out fires all day long. Just whatever weird problems show up, we got to fix them. And then right around a little bit after lunch, we grab mozzarella string cheese and then wrap it in hot bacon. And that's generally about where the day takes a dive.
Yeah,
no coming back from that.
That's
now, now, the pressing question, though.
Yeah.
Crunchy or chewy bacon?
Oh.
Well, you know what it is? It's the ready-to-serve bacon, the bacon that's already been cooked, and you throw it in the microwave for 10 seconds.
Oh,
so it
favorite.
Sort of, it has that, like, middle ground between being chewy and being crisp.
So
it's
almost,
perfect. It's so, perfect.
So close to being overcooked, but not really there yet.
Yeah. It's not, like, blackened. It's, but it's, yeah, it's like a beautiful thing.
Yeah, just like a firm rubber.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you say a firm rubber? On...
Wow. Hide that power.
So yeah, that's pretty much my day in a nutshell.
So you've worked for some other companies, Sean.
Yes.
How does the working environment here at Harmonix stack up against some of the other places you've worked?
It is awesome, I guess. I worked for a company that made real-time strategy games. In between, like, I started at Harmonix, and then there wasn't a job for me. Went over to this company that was making a real-time strategy game, and if it weren't for the people I directly worked with, it would have been screaming on a rooftop. And actually, when the company folded, we brought a lot of those people over to Harmonix. But it was just sort of like, fascist, I guess, was the other place. I guess that's one word to describe it. Whereas here, it's sort of like laid back. Everybody's really cool and fun. And I mean, it really is as enjoyable as you... The video game industry should be fun to work in because, you know,
okay, well,
that's what we do.
Speculate on this then. Justin Fick worked for Petroglyph.
Yeah.
Which also really sucked. So why do all RTS companies, why are they all jacked?
Okay. I think I can actually explain this.
I didn't say it. William Miller did. Don't sue me.
I can't speak for all of them because I've only worked for one, but I've heard stories from others, so I'm going to act like I'm an expert. I think what it is most of the people who start companies to make RTSs are like those crazed sort of history war nerds.
Oh man!
No, you. Hey, I will back this up.
Oh, go ahead, keep going. You want to roll, buddy?
You know the type. You know the type. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that just because you do Civil War reenactments, it makes you a jerk. But yes, I will say that actually. That's true. if you're doing Civil War reenactments, you got problems probably. So, you're probably making an RTS on the side. But there's that, which is sad because I like, there's a lot of RTSs I've really enjoyed, and I'm sure the guys over at Blizzard are wonderful. I'm sure they're quite nice. They've made their fair share.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say I've seen any Civil War reenactments at Petroglyph, but the board games flying around that place were a little hardcore.
It gets scary.
And you know
scary.
What? Board games are only the gateway drug.
Yes. No, it's true. It's true. I like the ones that have, like, rule books that are bigger than the Bible. But it's like, no, yeah, memorize this. For a board game? Can't we play Chutes and Ladders?
We're setting it up takes the entire lunch break.
Oh, yeah. So, Devron, you worked pretty extensively on Karaoke Revolution, correct?
I guess, yeah, that's one way to put it. I mean,
Could you sort of, well, describe sort of what it was like to work on that project and how that differs from what you're doing now, as much as you can. Devron's working on a secret, top secret project.
Yeah, super secret level, what is it, 16?
16.
Yeah. What is it? Anyways, I mean, Karaoke was a beautiful thing because it was like, you know, it filled this gap where, you know, there weren't any type of games out there where, you know, you actually could come out there and sing and, you know, it was a really cool game, but... how many of them did we do? Four?
No, we did five because Karaoke Country.
Right. Okay. So there was that one too. Oh, I mean, you know.
So that one counts, huh?
Yeah. It counts. It definitely counts. I mean, you know, when I started on KR, you know, it was the first one. It was our first time working with Konami, and you know, we did a lot of things actually that, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say shaped, like, you know, our approach to Guitar Hero, but, I mean, that was the first time we used venues, you know, the first time we had, you know, actual characters on stage and stuff like that. And, you know, my involvement was basically a tester. You know, I had worked on Frequency and Amplitude and, you know, was doing QA on Karaoke and stuff like that. And just kind of like, you know, each iteration, you know, I was just a tester and then became the QA lead on the latest one, which was the KRP, which was like a beast. Mm. That one was a beast. But, you know, that's kind of it. I mean, it was like basically managing the QA team and staff to make sure that, you know, we could hit our GM on time. So in other words, I had the most important job there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in the history of mankind.
I was pretty indispensable, I guess you would say.
Now, what was it like working with Konami? Aren't they sort of like the enemy because they have Guitar Freaks and all the rival rhythm games?
Well, we worked with Konami of America, you know what I mean, which is actually different from the Japanese one. I mean, they're like, you know, obviously under the same umbrella, but they, you know, Konami of America actually doesn't, you know, really have anything to do with Guitar Freaks and stuff like that. You know, that their biggest thing, it was it's drawing a blank because I don't play
Frogger?
No, not Frogger, but the other, the one where you dance around.
EDR.
EDR, there you go. Right. That's terrible, isn't it, that I forgot that? Oh, my goodness.
The one with the dancing and the arrows.
You know, you jump around and you step on stuff. No, but I mean, you know, honestly, it was good. I mean, you know, with any relationship that you have, there's good things and bad things, you know what I mean? But overall, it worked out fine, and you know, made some longtime friends there and whatnot, so it was cool.
So what do you think about Guitar Revolution?
What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, boy. Nah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, until I see something, you know, out there, I can't really speak, you know what I mean? I mean, what is it? They just got, like, there's, like, a patent out there now for that or something?
Well, they've had, I mean, the first one looks bad.
Which
one? The one in Japan looks bad.
Guitar Freaks.
Yeah, Guitar Freaks.
Yeah, I mean, that game's like almost 15 years old now.
I mean, ultimately, like, the difference, I think, between, like, our game and sort of Guitar Freaks is what it shares in common is kind of the controller and sort of the basic idea, but the gameplay, if you've ever tried both of them, is there's a kind of a big difference, ultimately, like, the feeling when you're playing, so.
Yeah.
Plus, I would argue that Harmonix is closer to rock than Konami is.
I mean, and I think also we have a lot of licensed songs, whereas like the Guitar Freaks one was a lot of in-house sort of like, you know, here's rock
Japanese
standard
covers.
48 and that sort of thing.
A lot of J-pop too. You know?
Right.
I mean, and a lot of their stuff were, you know, we have real live musicians, you know, we actually have a studio that, you know, they basically, you know, do the sound alikes, whereas I believe, you know, on the Guitar Freaks and stuff, a lot of that stuff was kind of just MIDI based. So, you know.
Well, in Japan, they grow music in test tubes.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
But it's they're training you to walk around in mechs, which is... Sorry, that one fell flat.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm sorry.
How could you screw up a mech joke?
What the hell?
That's automatic gold.
I know.
We'll talk about mechs later.
Yes.
I think we're going to include that little bit that you showed me earlier today in the news.
It's beautiful.
Later on
It's beautiful.
Oh, man. So let's talk Guitar Hero 2 for a second. How's it coming?
Why are y'all looking at me for?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Was looking at me like I know. I'm like, I don't know. It's fun to play, I guess.
Honestly, there's like been a few things that have gone into the game, and I'm not even talking really like gameplay wise or anything, other than visually. Where you look at it and go, oh my god, that might be the most awesome thing I've ever seen in a video game.
No, I would agree, man. I mean, they've definitely, you know, I mean, I'm not on that team. I'm on, you know, the other team. And it's like definitely like, you know, when I get to come down and check it out, it's definitely on like that next level stuff. You know what I mean? Like they've definitely taken it to the next level and it's coming together like really awesome.
It's really beautiful to look at.
Oh no. Warbird.
How does it play? Looking at me.
I stole his desk. He's looking at me.
So my biggest concern with Guitar Hero 2, like you look at Guitar Hero 1 and you're seeing videos on YouTube about people like, you know, 99%ing Bark at the Moon and Expert, and then, you know, you look at DDR also and people, you know, like are acing 9-foot songs, which are a complete joke now. What are you guys doing to like address that sharply climbing you know, skill level of Guitar Hero goons?
I will say this, because for a very long time I viewed myself as the best Guitar Hero player there was. You know, I just have to kind of put that out there. So
that was before
knows.
The game was released.
Listen, but it was still a true fact. It doesn't change that it's a true statement.
No, it's totally true.
I will say, without saying much, that they have solve that problem. So you have nothing to worry about. If you think you, if you think you, if you think you're good, you know what I'm saying? Like, you will be seriously humbled. So,
yeah, like I would quote John Romero from the Daikatana days. but that's that's sort of like bad, I think. Oh, bad omen. So
Guitar Hero 2 is gonna make you it.
Is that what we were saying?
Yeah, John, remember that?
Yeah. It will make you cry. I mean, it's the Bark of the Moon 99% thing is nothing. Believe me.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Nice.
Good.
So
maybe
I hope
something
you guys
challenge
are ready.
Me now.
Well, you know, Will's. I remember when Will first came through, he was saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, everyone at school loves it, and we have tournaments and da-da-da. So you guys will be busy for a while. I mean, I hope your grades don't go down or anything like that.
You know what? My grades are already abysmal. So. No worries.
You're not even in school anymore, right, Joseph Fick?
Exactly.
So, Sean, maybe you can answer this question better than DeVron can. How is the Guitar Hero 2 production going? Like, is it on schedule? Is it? How does it stack up to Guitar Hero 1 or any other projects you've
done?
Yeah,
like anything that ever happens at Harmonix, we are always on schedule.
Yeah, it's, I would.
We
yeah.
actually have this weird sort of like, we're known in the industry for always being on time, like always hitting our deadlines, and you know we're never pushing things off or saying people stole our source code or anything like that. And people stole our source code. We need another 8 months. That like not there's nothing like that. So I mean we're you know I think it's going very very smoothly. It's you know one of those projects that's just sort of like you know everybody's very passionate about. Everybody puts in the hours, and ultimately I think it'll be. You know, kind of a smooth ride to the finish line.
I mean, yeah, definitely, because, you know, first and foremost, we have an awesome, like, production and management team, you know, and, you know, these guys just, you know, they know what they're doing. Plus, the people that work here love working here, you know what I mean? And, like, the games that they're working on, they love working on them. So it's not, like, you know, an issue, you know what I mean? And, production on GH2 is actually going really, really good, you know?
Yeah.
They're in beta right now, and it's, you know... It's going really well.
Hmm. Now, has development on Guitar Hero 2 been, or obviously it has been much different than Guitar Hero 1, but has, you know, how has the success of Guitar Hero 1 affected the development and also, like, publicity of the sequel?
Well, we've gotten a lot more, like, songs. Has it been generally
easier? It's been easier. Been easier, you know, versus, like, you know, I guess the difference would be versus, like, you know, last time going out and getting turned down flat or not even, you know, having your phone call responded to. There's people that have actually been approaching, you know, Harmonix or Red Octane to actually, you know, hey, we want to be part of, you know, GH2 and stuff like that. So,
I mean, yeah, like the first time around, it's going to be totally weird, like, you know, showing up at somebody's, you know, offices and being like, oh, yeah, so we have this game. Basically, you plug in this hunk of plastic into a machine, and then you press buttons. And, I mean, that's kind of a tough sell the first time around, but once it becomes sort of, like, culturally a phenomenon that, there's more people who are interested in it and more, you know, big names who are excited to be a part of it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that was kind of the biggest difference. Otherwise, I mean, it's kind of like steady as she goes. You know, you got the same people designing, same people kind of working on it. So it's not too much has changed.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. So you think Guitar Hero 2 has maintained that same, like, underground, underdog, you know, kind of like garage band kind of style that Guitar Hero had? Or is this going to, like, descend from the heavens in on the release date?
I don't know what. What was that? I'm sorry. I don't. You know, you gotta remember, I'm from the streets. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta give it to me a little more hood-like. The whole falling from the heavens thing just kind of went over my head.
I think what Justin's trying to say is has this the huge success of the first one affected the production value or the design
aesthetic?
Of the second one.
Aesthetic?
Aesthetically,
no, I mean,
or
you know, the truth is, like, everybody
or just a general attitude.
Yeah.
Nah, man, it's coming out harder, if anything, you know what I mean? It's like...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's... When the first time we're around, you know, there's so many things. It's not a very long production cycle. We don't have very long production cycles. So in the end, there's only so many things you can do, like, with a short production cycle, especially, you know, it's the first title in a series and everything like that. Of course, we wanted there to be more. So I think a lot of us viewed the second time around as a way to even improve on the first one and get the stuff that we really wanted the first time around but just didn't have time for.
Yep. Like what?
Well, you got co-op.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge thing right there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That was something that we would have loved to have gotten in the first one. But, you know, when you're coming out with this, you know, with this, basically this concept the first time, you really got to kind of, you know, narrow your scope and really nail the things that are really, really important, you know?
That's true.
So, I mean, like, you know, and I know people have talked before about, like, freestyle mode that they had tried before and, like, realized it wasn't good and cut it. You know what I mean? So it's like just being able to have that extra bit of time where you're not trying to figure out the game or understand the game, you know what I mean, and just kind of come out with these other things that you wanted to do and just couldn't do before. So
I think also too, like the just the overall look and feel of the game is just more cohesive. There's just like a real, it really feels like whereas the last one, it's, you know, there's a bunch of venues and there's sort of this, you know, connection, sort of you feel like you're going from like this small tiny little someone's basement until, you know, playing through the game until you're in an arena. I think the sort of implied fiction of the game has gotten a little bit bigger, and just the whole menus of the game, the metagame, I just feel like it just everything ties closer together, and it just feels like a stronger game when you're playing it.
Yeah, it's hot, man. It's the hotness.
It's going to be good.
You're going to love it. Yeah. Tell your friends.
It's right, coming so finally, out. Reveal us a secret song right now. Go.
Well, I wrote this tune. No, I didn't. Yeah.
Beethoven 7th.
Beethoven 7th.
It's official.
Yeah, it's official. It's in there. I know there's not a lot of guitars in that. Some might say the guitars weren't invented.
But that needs to change.
That needs to change.
Yeah.
That needs to change.
I agree. Now, actually, I have a way to address this. Like, I know you guys don't want to spill all the secret songs in the song list. But I actually
not if we
did,
want to keep our jobs.
No.
Yeah, but I have a solution to this. I actually did some research. I talked to some lawyers.
Oh, did
and
you?
I did. I'm dead serious. And all they have all verified that NDAs do not apply when you are not in control of yourself. So that includes ventriloquism, hypnotism. So what we're gonna do?
Wait,
here,
if I get drunk first, am I allowed to break the NDA?
Well, if you get drunk and you're just reeling around, if it's pre-puke, then it's still active. If it's
what if it's like to the point where it's like actually I don't even want to say. I don't even want to say. I've already got bad visions in my head. I don't even want to bring it up.
Here's my solution, and this is going to be a new section for all future guests on the STEM podcast ever. It's called Get the Guest to Hypnotize and Divulge All Secret Projects While Under Hypnosis. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to hypnotize the both
that's
of
a, that's
right
a
now.
Catchy name for a segment.
Isn't it?
Could you say it again, please?
All right, the segment is called Hypnotize and Brainwash the Guest into Divulging All Secret Projects Go.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
All right, so are you guys ready? We're gonna brainwash you right now.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
You're getting brainwashed
by rubbing your microphone.
All right, can you hear this?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So you're getting sleepy. Bear with me here. Your eyelids
I'm
are getting
scared.
Heavy. Images will begin to form in your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Like sugar plum fairies and children laughing.
Oh my god.
Bear with me here. This really works.
I'm sure.
You'll visualize this podcast, our credibility rising. And the joy of it causes you to visualize the song list for Guitar Hero 2, and you'll begin to just rattle out names indiscriminately of as of yet undisclosed songs on the Guitar Hero 2 song list.
Greensleeves, Michael, row your boat ashore. Oh God, I can't stop.
50 Cent, Magic Stick.
Yeah. You didn't. It's not just called Guitar Hero 2. It's Guitar Hero 2: Public Domain. Just public domain songs. It's I really think it's going to be something special.
All right, now, while I still have 20 seconds left in this hypnosis sound clip, you're still sleepy. You'll send everyone on the best damn podcast ever free copies of Guitar Hero 2 when it's released.
Hey, Will, yeah. How long are you here till?
September 1st.
Yeah. Oh, well. Never mind. I was going to say he could bring some back with him, but that's not going
to...
No.
We'll just mail a couple of copies to Will and hope they get back to you.
Has the release date been announced? Can we say when Goldmaster?
You can announce
it
here.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
I mean, you know, it's a fall release, you know what I'm saying? So you can count backwards and figure out the date and possibly.
We're already done. We've been done for weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Well, yeah. It's about when I leave. I'm missing it by a little bit. But.
It's for, you know, a fall release at some point, you know.
Yeah. So you'll be on time for Christmas. You can make Grandma rock. You'll have time.
All right, guys, do we have any more questions before we move on to battle?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Battle? What battle. Is this?
All right. And now it's time for the best damn podcast about? Ever, Battle. All right. We've got 5 questions for you. If you can answer all 5 with errors, you will win battle.
Oh, right. Sean's getting his notebook out. He's getting
notebook
ready.
Out.
He's getting ready.
I'm bringing up Moby Games, too.
All right, so Jess and Vic lay our first question.
All right, so these are all harmonics related, so you better know these.
I'll start off easy and then
get steadily harder.
Okay.
All right,
Wait a minute, how do you guys know these?
We're all right,
go ahead,
we know everything.
Alright, you go ahead.
So as of today, how many games has Harmonix Music Systems released?
Ooh.
8.
9.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute, that's cheating!
Okay, I'll stay with 8, even though I know it's not.
Devron?
Hold on.
Wait.
Oh, is it 9? It's 9, isn't it?
That is incorrect.
Come on, man!
Does Axe count?
I'm sorry, sir.
What?
Axe.
What?
The correct answer is 10.
Yeah, Axe.
Aw, come on.
Yep.
Jeez.
Alright, next question.
Question number 2.
What Harmonix game was voted best console game by Rolling Stone and for what year?
Aw, man.
You should know this one, Devron.
I know. It's going to be one of the karaoke ones. I just don't know which one.
Frequency 2002.
No. Karaoke Party. Whatever year that was.
Last year?
Was
it the year?
2005.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
All right.
What was the answer?
The correct answer is Amplitude in 2003.
Oh, wow. Really?
I was closest.
What did you say?
I said Frequency 2002.
Oh, alright.
I was close.
You weren't even here for Amplitude.
No, I wasn't.
I
was working at a video store.
Justin Fick, next question, go!
Alright. Before developing games, Harmonix developed this type of product.
Oh, I know this one. It was I don't really know the name of it, but it was this, like, basically this kind of motion-y air, music in the air thing for, like, Disney. Epcot, was it, maybe? I don't know.
Before we made games, we had Imagineer.
That's
we
correct.
Got one.
I'm nice.
Betting one.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
All right. Question number 4. In Frequency, what is the main activation code required for all power-up and graphics cheats?
Come on, man. I had development cheats. I don't know those things.
K. It was Shift-K on the keyboard.
Come on, that's not even fair.
Come on, time's running out.
ABAB, select, start.
Oh.
It sounds like a Card Warriors. Okay, it's down, right, up, left, left, up, right, down.
Wow. Yeah. All
right. All right. I believe you.
All right. So final question. So does Blake Buck have a damn job or what?
I don't know, but he's got a damn good name, man.
We're gonna watch the reel a few more times.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Posted on YouTube.
That is correct.
2 out of 5.
Nice. All right.
Oh, we together.
Two out of five for Monix.
Come on, we're a team.
Right. 2 out of 5. Not bad, guys.
Congratulations.
Bad. All right.
That's the highest score we've ever gotten on the Best Damn Podcast ever.
That's good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, do we have any more questions?
So are you going to give us a few free copies of Guitar Hero?
I know. What do I get? What do we win? I want something.
We give you a t-shirt, but we can't afford it.
I'll take your t-shirt,
yeah, give me your shirt.
Yeah. When we get bigger, we'll give you a t-shirt.
Yeah, you win William Miller's clothes.
Nice.
You get to pick which
half. And JPEGs of our faces.
Well, we sure appreciate you guys being on the show.
Yeah, man,
sweet.
It was cool.
Well, thank you.
Taking your time out of crunch to come and joke around with us for a little while. So anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome to.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a lie, and you know it.
All right, Stumbug, go.
Hang on.
So while he queues up that power, Stumpbuck is basically a section in which the other hosts pick old NES or Super NES games and try to
see
if he's played them.
Any game. Because Blake Buck is a gaming expert, you understand. I mean, I know everything about games. So if you can stump me, you guys will win a point.
Blake Buck has a problem with games, actually. Self-admittedly.
Okay, no, so, I don't.
So I lived with Blake Buck 2 summers ago, I guess it was. And he had, you know, we worked at a grocery store and at a movie studio for a little while. And we, you know, we got some money. You know where all that money he made went? Games.
Games. Games I don't play.
He buys them and they don't get played.
And they sit on the shelf. And that's how I like it. I'm looking at you, Tyler, you're solid 3. All right, so now it's time to stump Buck.
All right, well, I got heat. I'm gonna try it.
All right, lay heat on me.
I will be the first to attempt to stump Buck on his own turf. Okay, so the very first Best Damn Podcast ever stump Buck is Gateway to Apshai.
The who?
Gateway to Apshai.
Oh man.
See, now there's a rule against buddy 80s RPGs, okay? First of all, whenever you have the word gate in your game's title, that means it's an RPG. Always. Name one game with the word gate in it that's not an RPG.
I'm pretty sure there was a Stargate game that came out that was a side scroller.
No. Okay, so what was it saying again?
Gateway to Apshai. Gateway to Apshai.
Obviously, Apshai, the elven village that needs to be saved. Got orcs coming in. They're looking ugly. Smashing stuff, stealing Frodo's cookies. All right. Then you've got the gatekeeper. And he's got, obviously, powers beyond all the other elves, and he's got to fight them and Rage Magic 2.
Well, no.
Now, admit there are elves. Admit there are elves.
I have actually never seen an elf in Gateway to Apshai. I could be mistaken.
Okay,
really,
but it is a fantasy game.
I guess you could call it that. The backstory is fantasy-based, but there is no elements in it that would suggest a fantasy RPG. Basically, Gateway to Apshai is it's more like an action RPG. It came out for the Atari 800 and also the Intellivision. Early 80s.
Oh man,
and
television.
And then I also remember playing this on my Commodore 64 back in the day. But basically, you were just like a little stick figure, and you ran around in randomly generated dungeons, and just chopped stuff up. Like you would run into dungeons, and there'd be like rats and bats and all kinds of enemies, different weapons. Then you would cut. You would cut with Blade.
All right, Blade Book. I know you have played this game. The question is, will you remember it?
Ooh.
We played this game back in high school, and it was pretty funny. In fact, let me see if you can guess it without even me giving you the title. We played this. We downloaded this game and played it on emulator.
Secret of Mana?
It was not Secret of Mana.
What am I supposed to be doing right now? Look, the rules are not clear. Don't confuse Buck. This is Stump Buck, not Confuse Buck.
All right. The game is Chowaniki.
Oh! This is the game with those naked men who flew around and punched everything, and it was the most homoerotic game I've ever seen in my life.
That's correct.
Japan
It was a homoerotic fighting game produced in Japan, and I think there's a sequel for PlayStation 2.
Oh my god.
It has such great... had such locations as Man Meadows, the Temple of Man.
Manfield.
And the Man Train.
The Man Train. You guys gotta look this game up. Boshery. Maybe I'll stick a link in the show notes.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, really. Chowaniki. Check it out.
Chowaniki. Great game. All right. Well, maybe you pulled it out today. Maybe you stumped me. But next week... Oh, no, I got William Miller. So I got half
you got
of
me.
Not bad. All right, so now, what section is it time for, William Miller?
I think it's time for battle.
Now, what is battle? Why don't you explain that to us?
Well, for a long time on the Inside My Games podcast, we were trying to figure out a way to interact with our listeners. And the thing that we concluded is that we really don't like our listeners very much. So we devised the most hostile environment in which we might interact with these listeners and dubbed it battle. So our listeners call up and talk to us about a variety of topics related to games. They can try to stump Buck or give us some heat that we haven't mentioned on the show. But if they don't bring the heat, they get the buzzer bomb, which sounds like this.
Oh God. So now, with no further delay, it's time for battle.
Now, how are they? How are they? How are they better?
They're just better.
What is it with the apathy of these people that call us on the show? But he's been taking Dramamine all day, or something fairly coherent.
And it's the first team who does not kill the monsters that loses.
All right, now it is time for battle.
Mike, you're on the best damn podcast ever. Go.
No, okay. Hey, Blake, I actually got a stump up for you.
Okay.
All right, this one's kind of easy, but I don't think you've heard of it.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, have you played Yoshinoya?
Yoshinoya?
Yoshinoya is a beef bowl restaurant in Japan, and I think this game is modeled after its logo character.
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Dude, and these guys are all over L.A., too. Yoshinoya is like the McDonald's of Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
What are you, Googling? That's the exact same sentence I'm reading right now.
More heat, go.
All right. Blake, how could you call me a 12-year-old? Well, you want to hear my impression of a 12-year-old? Here we go. and search angry German kid on YouTube. Now that's an angry 12-year-old.
That's funny stuff. I've seen that. All right, more he go.
All right. Yeah, what I think is really cool about that Mac Pro is, have you seen the hard drives? You see how you can just like remove and put them back in?
Two terabytes internally.
And they just snap in to even a 12-year-old.
Yeah. What? Lay off the 12-year-old.
Thanks for calling, Mike.
I don't have the buzzer bomb loaded up. Oh, damn it. What have
you done? He survived.
Oh, no.
Okay, no, he didn't.
Ooh, that was close. All right. Next heat. Next up is Lucas.
Shot him in the... Dude, I don't know how you could call him a 12-er. He sounds at least 13.
At least. All right, here comes Lucas. Make sure on the best damn podcast ever. Go.
Hey, I've got a couple sub-bucks for Blake.
All right, go.
It's going to be easy. Blake, if you don't know this, then I'm going to kill you. Blake, if you played Bubsy the Bobcat.
Who?
Bubsy on Super Nintendo.
Bubsy, that was that, it was like that Sonic knockoff on the Super Nintendo. He was that little, like, wombat or something. Had a little t-shirt with an exclamation mark on it. Bam!
More heat, go.
Alright, second one, this one you should not know. It's called Estal.
A who?
That sounds like an RPG to me, Blake Buck.
Crystal.
It's called what?
Oh, Crystal. Wait a minute.
That's what we drink, along with our Henny.
Astal, Estal.
Astal? It's not even a word. It's a text-based RPG.
No, actually, do you want to know what it is, Blake?
Oh.
Not really, but go ahead.
Okay, it's a side-scroller for the Saturn. You play as a guy with big pink hair.
The Saturn.
And somebody ripped it off and made Tumba.
Saturn is not allowed for Stump Buck.
Saturn is allowed.
I even own a Saturn.
You have a Saturn, don't you?
Yeah, I have a Saturn, and none of my games work.
All right, well, I've got some heat for old Lucas here. I put up that IMG logo the other day, and I swear to God, Lucas talked to me for about an hour about how cheap it was because it had this outline stroke tool or something that he didn't like. Luke, what are you doing? What are you even doing?
What?
That's it. No more. Oh, any more for battle.
Dude, they're not ready.
They're not ready for it.
Dude, where's Stefan? Or Bruce Morrison's in the chat. Bruce Morrison, call us.
Strokes. That's what it was. Whatever that means. Strokes. Oh, Stefan's calling. Here we go, guys.
Uh-oh. I'm hovering over the buzzer bomb. IMG Podcast, guys. That's who you need to contact. Call in.
All right, Stefan, you're on the podcast ever. Go.
Hey, guys. I've got a couple of stump bucks for you. Not much battling going on today. I'm not in the... It's too late. It's like 2:30 in the morning. Anyway.
Dude, I haven't been to sleep in 2 days. All right,
we'll
come on.
We'll get back on track for you soon. Don't
Blake,
worry.
That's because you're stupid. At least stupid people go to sleep for 2 days. You start seeing
you
spiders soon.
It makes me laugh. You're stupid.
But you sound like a monkey. We've already been through this. Anyway. Alright, my first game for you. My first game for you is Zool.
Zool?
This game,
oh, that reminds me of Zoop. Remember that game that was overhyped? That puzzle game that nobody played?
Yeah.
It was like, it's the next Tetris.
The best puzzle game ever, and it sucked.
Is Zool an NES game, top-down, where you play as a character kind of like Zelda?
Zool was on Amiga, Atari ST, Game Boy, Mega Drive. Oh, it wasn't SNES.
Never mind.
It's a ninja thing.
Oh, it's a ninja thing, okay. I think it's something else.
You know, actually, the nth dimension,
we actually had an Amiga. This is a really funny story. We had an Amiga in the office. And my boss bought it by telling the pawn shop dude that it didn't run Windows. So why sell it for a lot? Alright, we got Bruce Morrison. Hang on, I'm going to cue him up.
Yeah, okay, my next game is Lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Yeah.
Obviously a Baywatch simulator. You're David Hasselhoff. You have to run down the beach and it's got physics dynamics on your, like, man boobies. As you bounce and pound your way to the beach.
A Baywatch simulator. Jack Thompson would be all over it.
Such debauchery.
Lighthouse, this sounds like a...
The pixels are polygons of degradation.
Sounds like some sort of boat driving game. Dude, Stefan is dead.
Stefan Langford, deliver
right.
Heat.
That's it.
That's it.
Stefan, go.
Okay, right. This is all. My subject today is battle. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna battle you about battle, and then I'm gonna go on
battle,
about.
Battle,
go.
Yeah. And actually, I'm just going to go on about Blake. I can't be bothered about going on about how Blake ruined it. Blake, you still haven't read my email because you can't read.
Dude, I
that's
eat
why
emails.
I haven't read.
Any emails over two paragraphs in length, I eat.
Dude, your email was two pages long, and then your next email said that it was sensible, so that proved to us why we shouldn't read it. We don't read long, sensible emails here in this podcast.
No, but this email, it fixed everything about me arguing with you about Battle, because you killed Battle, but this email solves that, because then you have different sections and stuff. Anyway,
do you like Battle now?
More about Buck. You can't work iTunes, and you can't work an iPod, and everybody can do that. Seriously, everybody can do that. Apart from maybe William Miller. Because he didn't really understand that Apple had iTunes before AAC came out. So they had to support like AIFF and MP3s and converting into all that stuff. So
I'm increasing the volume to signify an increase of heat needed.
Okay, you broke that
again. Let me clarify. When I import MP3s, they automatically get converted to AAC, so I figured, well...
You could change it in the preferences, man.
Oh, well.
Anyway, Blake. Blake, you'll never be as fit as Ben Buck, because Ben Buck actually does something. You just sit around eating buttered donuts or lard with a stick. An ice cream lolly stick. That's what you use to eat lard. You can't even be bothered to go get an ice cream. Get a spoon.
I don't have an afro, alright? I've seen your face. Don't anyway, make me put it in the album art. I'll do it.
Well, I don't care. That was my Mars Attacks face. I looked like an alien from there or something. Anyway, okay. That's the only reason why I sent it into you. And next up, you totally suck at Stumbuck. You rarely ever get anything right. 1 week, you must 8-0. 8-0. I mean,
8-0.
We keep a tally in the chat, and you lost 8-0. World 8, Blake 0. And you're going to lose again this week.
Sophomore
at the moment.
He got sophomore
but
in adventure.
We figured that one out. It's because you played every single game.
That's going back to Apple 2 days.
It says in the chat, change your afro.
Okay, and you're gay.
All right, thank you, Stefan.
Oh, this is too much fun.
William Wallace, ladies and gentlemen.
I love how, like, somebody who's never listened to this show, this is just ridiculous. It's just noises everywhere.
Alright, Mike, go!
Of course, Blake, you got softcore porn. That was probably your favorite game back in the day. With the text-based porn.
No, Blake, Buck can't read.
At least I can get an erection,
can't read. I remember on several occasions.
Oh, he was just warming up for an attack, too. He buzzered him just in time. He was about to tear you down.
Get him out. Have we got any new folks?
I don't think so. I think that was good.
I'm telling you, man.
Okay.
Use
this
rubber.
Is the end of battle.
Move your nail back.
There we go.
Oh, battle, ladies and gentlemen, battle.
That was the most intense, like 10 minutes of my life. All right, well, that does it for this week for the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
That's pretty good, Blake Buck.
Some crazy shenanigans.
It's true, it's true. If you'd like to send us an email, feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Next week, we're going to have a listener line set up, so you guys will be able to leave us voicemails. Still working on that right now, though, so bear with us. Be sure to tell your friends about the show. We've got a MySpace, myspace.com/bestdamnpodcastever, which I'll set up right after this recording. We're on Facebook. You can check our website, get banner ads from our websites. Tell your friends, tell your forum buddies, tell everybody. Best damn podcast ever. We know just to add to that.
Yeah, be sure to keep checking the website. It's up now, but should have more features coming soon. We got Battle Cat from the Inside Mac Games Network. working the forum for us, so he'll be
nice
doing some cool stuff. Also, we're gonna start making games and putting them on the site.
Ooh, yeah.
So check out Flash Games and maybe even something a little more. So keep checking back.
All right, anything else we gotta add, guys?
I don't think so. Good show, Blake Buck.
All right. Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Thicke.
And we will see you next time.
I don't understand what's going on.